the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
It's okay. No worries.
Okay. I see that there's been a lot of boxing lately. You know, folks, boxing is coming back. Mike Tyson was
in the ring.
There's been other stuff.
Yeah, we watched that together as a family. We sat around, and that's been actually our Saturday night go-to. The whole family around the TV watching boxing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. That keeps them sharp and gives them an opportunity to kind of, you know, connect and see what's going on in the world.
For
like,
sure.
We are going to find out what's going on in the world here on The Edge, Brains, with my friend of the show, Stephanie Malgis. I want to call you Malan, her son, okay? This is Stephanie Malgis from
I'm back in Toronto.
All right, hold on again. Hold on, let me do this again.
No worries.
See, that's why I record stuff. No. So in the event that there's a blooper,
that's okay.
It. If it's a bad one, we get rid of it.
That's okay. I'll help you out. Sorry. It's Milias. Milias.
Milias. Milias.
There you go. Milias.
Where is your last name from? Where
it's Croatia. Croatia.
Croatia.
Yeah.
Malias.
Croatia. Yeah.
Okay. And Mladen Malias. Mladen is your son's name. He was named after your father.
My dad. That's correct.
Now, was he Croatian as well?
Yes. Yeah. The whole family. Everybody.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So did you end up in Canada?
Oh, I was 2 years old when my parents came here. So it was, I had to go. Couldn't be left behind.
No. Have you been back to Croatia to ever visit any of your family there?
A couple of times, but I haven't been since like the late 80s. I went there on my honeymoon.
Oh, okay. All right.
But I haven't been back since.
Your husband is Croatian as well?
That's right. That's right. Yep.
Now, how'd you do that? Did your parents arrange that? How'd you get him in Canada?
No, actually, I met him here in Canada.
Wow.
He had to come all the way here.
Wow, that's wonderful. Yeah. And so how long have you been married?
31 years.
Wow, I've been married 36.
Yeah. Oh, congratulations, April.
Isn't it amazing to be with someone that long?
Yeah, yeah. It's great because you know what? You go through the cycles. And I think after the 30-year mark, you get back into the honeymoon stage.
Yeah, you do. Or you're taking pills for that libido, one or the other.
Can't hurt.
Exactly. So, Brains, we are here on The Edge. Look, I got 2 postcards today. I want to thank you for joining me, Stephanie. You are a friend of the show. You have been here before. I remember in the inception of my show, you were one of my very first guests, and I want to thank you for coming all the way from Canada. She is a 2-time author, Brains, and we have an opportunity to win one of her latest books. We're going to get into that in just a minute. She is also an incredible psychotherapist. And the morning I had today, I need this conversation because I need a little therapy. I need a little rejuvenation. Mm. So the lockdown has really got me and everybody else in this incredible funk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes. And I'm talking about funk that needs deodorant. It's bad.
Mm-hmm. It's bad. I know. It affects everybody. Everybody. It doesn't matter what age you are. It doesn't matter. It's affected everybody. Yeah. And not in a good way.
And the thing of it is, I think because we are so unruly, mm-hmm. we don't like rules as individuals. Yeah. We have this free will and we roam around and we say what we want to say and do
That's
what
right.
we want to do and go where we want to go. But then when somebody puts those, you know, those mm-hmm. chains on us and locks us down and makes us sit still, mm-hmm. instead of sitting there and decompressing and learning the lesson,
sure.
just come up out the ground. We just can't function.
No. And I think it's because, our spirit likes to be free. Spirit does not like to be contained. And these are human constructs. It's like man imposing rules. Spirit doesn't like rules. Spirit likes to roam around free. So it doesn't feel natural. It doesn't feel natural to be locked down. It doesn't feel natural to have all those restrictions placed on us.
It doesn't. And, you know, you feel very vulnerable because yes. you're at the mercy of someone else.
That's right.
We're turning into anger. How do we channel this energy, you know, from a psychotherapist perspective? Mm-hmm. What are you saying to your clients? Because a lot of people are going into domestic violence.
Absolutely.
They're going back into, drugging, drinking, depression. Yes. What are you seeing and what are you saying?
Usually I find anger kind of goes hand in hand with hopelessness. When we feel like we don't have any hope, when we have that anxiety of, we don't know when this is going to end. We don't know how it's going to end. And when we start to go down that road, I think kind of our mind can run away with us and our, and also as well too, we'll turn towards the people that we are locked down with. And any previous issues that might've been there starts to get magnified. So we do start to get angry at each other, at our family members, at the government, at society. If somebody cuts us off, if we see a lot of shaming in public, if somebody's wearing a mask, if somebody isn't wearing a mask, if you're standing too close, if like we see all kinds of stuff. And it's just people expressing, like you said, that frustration and that anger. And, I find usually the best way is when you are angry to take that pause. Self-care is more important now than ever, and to really slow it down, to really, really take that breath and really just take a moment to look around and to see what you can be grateful for. Sometimes it's a difficult search. Sometimes it may feel like you have nothing to be grateful for, especially if you have lost a loved one, if somebody you care and love is sick, if you've lost your job, if you've lost your income, you've lost your business. It's very difficult to be hopeful in those times.
But there is, you know, we got to keep hope alive.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's... That's right. And I believe that there is always something to be hopeful for. Even the simplest of things. And oftentimes throughout history, there's always been challenging times for everybody. Nobody gets by unscathed. We just don't. Somebody starts off, you know, much harder. We have a, you know, not everybody has a silver spoon and have things easy. Most people do struggle and strive through their whole lives. So this just makes it that much tougher to try to search for that hope.
You know, and it's all about the beginning. You know, people, you have to start somewhere.
Yes.
And again, I start with self-reflection. I look in the mirror.
Yes.
And I saw a witch in the mirror today. But you know what? I said, well, let me go ahead and, you know, do some hair and talk to Stephanie and, you know, just really try to decompress and that everything that's going on is really not as bad as we think it is. I mean,
that's right.
These officials are trying to save our lives. They've never experienced this before.
No. And they're human.
Yeah. And it's like parenting, you know, when that baby comes out, you look at it and you go, wow, where's the instructions?
So true. Yeah. It's sometimes we'll get it right. And sometimes we're going to muck it up.
We're going to muck it up and, you know, but we have to love one another through the process. And that's what you've done. You've done that with My Little Book of Hope. I love this.
Thank you.
She was so gracious. She has sent us this book, and you're going to have an opportunity to win this as well as one of our signature limited edition coffee mugs. But I want to talk to you a little bit about the process because this was a different type of book for you. I want to think about... you know, I want to go in your head. I want to think about your thought process because I just want to check my notes. Now, you, in the beginning of the book, you really kind of lay it out for us. You know, you want us to think and you want us to expose our gifts. But then in the middle of the book, you go to different tools and you give us strategies.
Yes.
And at the conclusion of the book, you give us a 30-day plan.
Yes.
How did you lay this out?
Well, I think most things, most change actually works in that type of order, actually, any sustainable change. First, we have an awareness. So what's the awareness of our situation? What's the awareness of ourselves? So once we have awareness, then there comes an acceptance stage. Okay, I am where I am. This is where I am today. not where I used to be, how things were. And I think that's where we get stuck is, you know, oh, I used to be, you know, this many pounds, or I used to have this job, or I used to make that much money. But today, look at where I am, for example. So acceptance. Once we can get to the stage of acceptance, well, then we can start to take some action. Because without action, there is no change. I can, you know, pray and dream all day long. But prayer is definitely great. And dreaming is great. Setting goals is great. But it's not going to help unless you take little teeny tiny steps to make those things come true. Right. So that's where the action plan comes in. So they actually all tie in together. So it starts with the thoughts. How are we thinking? How are we framing things? What's our behavior like? And then taking those steps and reflecting.
Well, that's the hard work. Because again, people don't want to identify. They don't want to accept responsibility.
Yes.
But then what I find is that they stay stuck and they don't want to thrust forward because change is uncomfortable, but change is a constant. You know,
things are going to change whether you change or not. For example, my view is always trying to learn how to be that eye in the storm. So if I can focus on me and try to be as grounded as possible, life is going to be swirling around me all the time. Sometimes it's going to feel like a tornado. Sometimes it might just be a gentle breeze, but it'll still continue to move. So it's up to me to decide how I'm going to show up and to try to be as steady and solid as I can through whatever life throws at me.
Right. Well, it's been really throwing some curveballs, but, you know, we got to win the game. And
for sure.
Your head is not in the game and you're not a player.
Yeah.
So it's a moot point. So give us some strategies to, you know, kind of, you know, from the book, how to position ourselves. And because again, brains, I want you to know, this is not overnight. This is not abracadabra.
No.
Okay. This is ongoing work.
That's right. Well, what I've done is, for example, I've set through some of those things that, we already know how that we have an imagination. Well, we have it for a reason and for a purpose. It's we want to use it to our benefit. It's a tool. Our imagination is a tool of how to come up with ideas and things of that nature. So we can put that to use for us. We do have the universal laws, law of attraction, law of karma, law of cause and effect. We've got all those. Those are things we can use. Or we have feelings and emotions. That's also something that we all inherently have. Well, that's a gift because our feelings and our emotions are a clear indicator of what we're thinking. What's sitting in our subconscious mind? What's laying low in our unconscious mind? So, yeah, we all have these. This is not something we have to go out and get. We have them, except oftentimes we don't use them. And so using our natural gifts and then putting that into the strategies and the tools. So the first one, for example, is getting clear. Well, what do I want in my life? What kind of goals do I want? Short-term goals, long-term goals. What's realistic? Reality is also important. You know, I can want to be an astrophysicist, but if I'm not going to university, that's not going to happen. I can dream that all day long. But just, you know, being real also is very important. Also taking that time out for yourself. Not enough. We're always busy, either looking at too many distraction methods, either, you know, TV, video games, not wanting to kind of sit down and think, ponder, meditate, just to stay calm. Even if you don't want to, some people can't meditate, for example. They can't sit with that empty mind, especially these days, if their mind is going very busy. So
let me tell you something about meditation. I was talking to another one of my guests about that. I had to dial back on the meditation. I was getting some heavy downloads. I was getting some heavy messages. And they required me to take action. You know, don't just sit on your loins. This is something that you need to do. And it was coming fast and it was coming furious. I didn't think that I could, you know, I could meet God's tall order. So I kind of dialed back on that. And as I did that, I found that I was doing myself a little bit of a disservice because I was missing it. There was something I was missing.
Yes.
The balance, you know, when that mind is empty, brains, let me tell you, there's something going on there. Even though you think there's nothing going on, there's something going on. You're processing and you're receiving your next set of instructions, some guidelines, some disciplines, some rules. All of those things are popping up in your head while you're trying to quiet that monkey mind. When people are in meditation, how do they do that? I mean, you know, as a psychotherapist, again, you're working with the people's mind all the time. How do people really kind of process this information once they get it? Because it can be scary and it can be overwhelming. You know, people think, oh, meditation is just cool. You know, you're going to come out on the other side. You come out with information and some action items.
Absolutely. And I find also too, some people are very frustrated because they feel like they can't meditate. They can't sit still. They feel like they can't do it right. Or they think that they're going to have this direct access to this knowledge and information or a roadmap. Sometimes something may not come to you in that moment. But if you have a relaxed and calm brain, information does flow much easier, much smoother, and much better. So the benefits of meditation is that quiet, de-stressed brain. So if somebody's anxious or depressed, they're not just emotionally anxious and depressed. Their brain is anxious and depressed. So meditation helps to calm that. It calms the cells of your body. It calms all that down. So solutions start to flow better. Ideas start to flow better. So the more you can kind of calm your body, calm your emotions, calm your brain, you can pretty much solve just about anything, or at least be guided towards that. Yeah.
Exactly. And then, you know, again, incremental steps.
Yes.
You don't have to go into the psychedelic meditation from
Absolutely.
The again, just learn to be content and be in that place. So now you have the information and you've meditated, or as I say, you've marinated in it.
Uh-huh.
And now you go to change your life.
Yes.
You know? And you take these action items. Some people can't handle that as well. I mean, that's a heavy, tall order. I'll use, for example, people that have lost like 100, 150 pounds. Mm-hmm. They look at themselves in the mirror and they see that they've lost a whole person.
That's right.
And so now the psyche is like, how do I greet this other person? Mm-hmm. How do I greet this person that's just been unveiled? How do people start to move inside of their new reality?
Well, that's actually a very interesting kind of example, because that's very, very common. What happens is, so for example, even if that person shed that 100 pounds and they're like visibly to the eye, they're a totally smaller person. They've, you know, they're a totally new person. But inside, that change hasn't happened yet. It may have been external. Mm-hmm. But the inside, they may still have those limiting core beliefs. They may still believe that they're not good enough. They still may feel like that fat person. They, until they work on those inner kind of obstacles, that fat person, when they walk into a room, they're going to believe it's that fat person walking in.
Exactly.
Yeah. So they need to work on, and that's kind of what the 30-day action plan is about. So when you do one of the action steps for the day, it's interesting. It's not just taking action steps for change. It's about uncovering those limiting beliefs. And you're going to do that not on purpose. You're going to do that because if you have a resistance to one of the tasks for the day, that's going to show you something kind of you're pushing against. Mm. So if you want to take it even one step further, you can start to pay attention. Well, why would I be struggling with that? Why am I finding that challenging? For example, let's just say on one of the days, the action plan is to forgive yourself. So we'll be working on, for example, we'll set the intention for the day to work on self-forgiveness. Mm. So that may be one, that'll be a day. And so we're going to set that intention. So I follow up with some detail about that, but then also some affirmations for the day. Mm-hmm. A great way to test if you're pushing against self-forgiveness, let's just say, if you're saying an affirmation out loud, and you're struggling with saying it, or you're telling yourself, okay, that's BS. I don't believe that for a second. Now you've uncovered a limiting belief. Now you've uncovered perhaps an obstacle that's preventing you from realizing and achieving your goals and dreams. Because that's sitting in the subconscious and unconscious mind.
Right, right. And that's 95% of the mind.
Yes.
People don't do that. Do you also work with clients or work with colleagues with neurolinguistic programming as well as maybe some hypnotherapy?
I do both, actually. Yeah, because the hypnotherapy actually bypasses the subconscious mind and goes directly to the unconscious mind. And that's usually where our trauma sits, our trauma as well as our shame. Any shaming messages that we received. Shaming as a child, shaming could be in school, could be from classmates. That's where those beliefs of I'm not good enough, or I can't, you know, I can't, I'm not perfect at anything. I don't do some things well. I'm not smart enough. Those kind of, I'm not enough, will usually sit there, and it's very deeply rooted.
Yes, it can, and it can be very devastating.
Yes.
Very
yes.
devastating. A lot of people don't want to uncover that, though. You know, they figure, yep. well, people are quick to tell you, well, just get over it. Well, until you uncover it and undress yeah. it, you can't get over it.
No, it's still there. Just because you're not looking at it doesn't mean it's there. I mean, it doesn't mean it's not there.
So when people uncover these things, they still have to live with them. They're not going to automatically go away.
I don't think shame ever completely goes away. It's part of our life story. It's part of our experience. And it's learning how to integrate that and challenge some of those beliefs.
Do you believe that that's also a part of learning the lesson of life? I mean, it's part of the boundaries.
Yes. Yes. And that's, I believe, well, that's why we're often here, is to learn a lot of lessons, is for our soul growth, is to be the best person that we could be, to, you know, to be of service to other people, to make a difference in the world, and on all of those things. So definitely, yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's what you've dedicated your life to, is really being that connector, that person that, you know, is helping people navigate through the uncertainties in their life. And I want to thank you so much for that, and for writing my little book of hope. Brains, you can pick this up on Amazon, correct?
Yes, that's correct. Yes.
And it is worth it. It is the best stocking stuff forever. Stephanie, please tell my brains how to get in contact with you, you know, because you're working virtually now as well, correct?
I am. And that's also very challenging for a lot of folks, because not everybody has privacy in their space. Mm-hmm. Not everybody has internet connection. And we have to remember, not everybody has all those things. So it can be very challenging. But yes, I'm at www.stephaniemilyes@gmail.com. My website's www.stephaniemilyes.com. And those are the best places to reach me at.
Milias Brains, M-I-L-J-A-S.
It's a tough one.
She's awesome sauce. And, you know, clear, concise, you know, easy, comfortable to talk to. I just love to talk to you. I'm going to talk to you offline, too, because there's a lot of stuff going on. And it's very unsettling. And it's nice to talk to someone. But let me ask you a question before we conclude our interview.
Sure.
What helps you?
Huh. I think I just look around. I find inspiration from everybody around me. There's everybody has a spark. Everybody has some magic. There's no like miracle that's going to fly down and save you. You know, we do have angels among us everywhere, from our pets to our loved ones. The older generation, look at the wisdom that they have. Right. You know, how did they get through difficult times? How did they get through depressions and wars and things? We forget to kind of tap into the generation before us, because they really did. Look how resilient a lot of them are, and how many of them have a beautiful smile and stay on the positive side. And so we have wisdom all around us. Yeah. And I find also in books as well, that was I've always been a reader.
You are an avid reader. You took a picture in your library and I was like, wow.
Well, you know, growing up, my father was the only one that had control of the remote. So my sister and I, we did a lot of reading. And that's how that started.
Wow. I mean, you are a voracious reader. You really, really are. But also, you're a great author.
Thank you.
You've written two great books that have really impacted, you know, my life and my reading. I don't necessarily sit down and always read a book from beginning to end. I always find it's very interesting that if I kind of flip through it and I open it up, I find exactly what I need. And then I'm entrenched in the book, you know? And so I want my brains to get entrenched in this one here.
Thank you.
Definitely come back and visit. Thanks for popping in from Canada.
Thank you so much.
And, you know, keep doing what you're doing, because you're doing a wonderful job. And I just thank you for being my friend and being a supporter of the show.
Thank you, April. Thank you so much for being my friend. And you have been an angel today.
Well, thank you so much. My wings are little today, but hopefully they'll stand.
Thank you. Thank you.
Have a good day.
I appreciate it. We'll see you soon. Thank you. Right. Take care.
Okay.